from PRX.
Friends beyond binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's here to keep you company in the deep, dark night, to be your boyfriend, your boorbay. This show's a bit different. I'm glad you're here. Tonight, we're going to be rolling the old 20-sided dice off to dreamland. Actually, no dice will be rolled, though. I mean, if they are, they'll be rolled off mic. Sleep With Me, the only podcast that could involve dice being actually, yeah, I guess dice still get rolled. I mean, I have an app where it shows a die. Is it a die? It's a die, right? 20-sided die. So most of the time, it's just one die getting rolled. Now, if you're wondering, what are you rolling on and on about? I'd say, like, you sound like you're something like a 13-sided die. And I'd say I roll about as evenly as that. Here's a question I don't have the answer to. How many dice are made up of prime numbers? Any? I don't know. Probably not, but just a question that popped in. Oh, but I'm supposed to be introducing a sleep podcast. If you're new and you're here, this show's very different. I'm glad you're here. It's meant to take your mind off of something and keep you company while you fall asleep. It does take a few tries to get used to. But we make the show because you deserve a good night's sleep, and you deserve to not feel, for the deep, dark night, not to feel so lonely. So I'm here to help. What else do you need to know? Structurally, we got some support coming up so the show can be free for everybody. Then there's a long, meandering intro. And then there'll be a bedtime story where some friends are working on designing their own role-playing adventure and kind of playing through it and being friends. So that's really sleepy stuff. A lot of layers to for me to go on, off topic about. But I'm glad you're here, and I really hope the show can keep you company, take your mind off stuff, and help you fall asleep. Thanks for coming by. And these sponsors are how we're able to be here for you for free twice a week. Check them out at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to this show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it can be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, one part of the podcast where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who support the sponsors, because that's how I get to be here for you and for everybody that benefits from this ad-supported show. I know how excited they are because I hear from them, so I love thanking people here. I'd love to say your name. So if you support a sponsor, you use a free trial, you support the show, even if you spread the word about the show, let me know. Fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. So I can say thank you, or do it on social media, tag the sponsor, tag me. And I want to thank Joe. This is a perfect use case. Joe used the ZocDoc app. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep, because Joe got new insurance and was looking for a new doctor. That's a perfect use case of ZocDoc, and ZocDoc really helped Joe out. And then Joe helped the show out by using something for free. I mean, a free app. And then let me know about it, letting ZocDoc know about it. So thank you so much, Joe. Again, if you want to hear your name, like Joe's name, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, you getting the support you need right now. If you're having a tough time, there's links to resources in the show notes, including international resources. It's also about being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but learning more and doing stuff. And there's links to resources where you could do that in the show notes. A couple things we're doing, building hygiene kits and supporting the Midnight Mission shelter in Los Angeles for people experiencing homelessness. We're also supporting the Trevor Project through the Orlando Park Stop fundraiser that they do every year, but you can donate any time of the year to the Trevor Project using that link that's in our show notes. So do that, and let me know about it too so I could say thanks. Mystery Bard, a lot of people work really hard on this show. Who are Chris they?
Posty poster song. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the legend. Also Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, runner, Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the mystery bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like Banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. By the way, if you want sleep phones, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleep phones. Use Sleep With Me to get $5 off your order. You got to use that link. We get a commission when you use that link. But that link also goes to the Sleep With Me branded sleep phones. So please do that and let me know about it. And what do you say we slow down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts on your mind that you're thinking about. Like thought, you say, okay, there's a thought I'm thinking about. I guess they say you can only think about one thing at once, which is kind of one of the theories behind the show. But what they don't say is normally it doesn't feel that way. And the person saying it, then you say, well, I think you should, you know, keep your opinions to yourself. Because usually if someone says that at a time, an inopportune time, they say, did you know you can only, you know, so if you're thinking about your toes being, you know, immersed in puffy clouds, you won't be thinking about everything else on your mind. And I say, well, I don't know if it works like, I would rather have my feet. Does the cloud support my feet? Well, I was just making a quick example. Okay, but I'm just more interested. Now that you're bringing this up, I have thoughts about my thoughts being distracted by my toes. Did you see my toes would be immersed in a puffy clouds? Here's a question. Could I tickle the clouds with my toes? Would they giggle? Because I could kind of see that. That would be nice. I don't know. How much does this cloud machine you're proposing, or how much does it cost to book your clouds? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm actually a cloud. I'm a cloud wrangler. Really? You're the cloud wrangler. I guess I thought the podcast tonight's episode would be about our role-playing friends, but this is definitely, so you wrangle clouds. Yeah, I'll tell you more about it in the episode, apparently. You could tickle our clouds. Do they call you the cloud wrangler because you, like, wrangle clouds around and around and around and around? I'm not sure I get your reference, but it is early in the podcast, so it's probably fine for you to make a reference like that. I don't know. It just popped in my head. Because if they called you the cloud wrangler, does cloud wrangler have the same number of syllables as the rambler? Is that who they called me, the rambler? They call me the rambler? Is that who they call? I don't know the actual, like, I've taken that song so many times. When it's popped in my head, unrelated, like I've that song's lost all meaning to me. Sounds like you should have a puffy cloud in your life. Okay, I didn't realize that puffy clouds is a business opportunity, but I'm interested in this seminar. So I'm a cloud wrangler. I like it. Be taught. There's one thing that won't be wrangled by my methods is a cloud. I mean, I could tell you that, but so that's even more interesting. I would bet you're more of a cloud coaxer, eh? Maybe you should write the episode later. Oh, thanks. You're right. I should probably introduce the podcast. So thoughts on your mind about the past, present, future, puffy clouds. It could be feelings, anything you're feeling emotionally coming up for you related to those thoughts or feelings that are just there. It could be physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine. Whatever it is that's keeping you awake. I'm here to take your mind off stuff and keep you company so that you could fall asleep. And for a lot of people, when you first get here, that can be very confusing. The whole idea of the show, whatever just happened. I mean, what's not confusing, I think we could all agree on. I would not mind the image of me. Now, I don't know if I'd be lying on clouds, but even if I was lying on my bed and I had a cloud appear, it wouldn't even have to be a sentient cloud. Though that'd be, you know, if it's just appearing at the foot of my bed. And then I tickle it with my toes. And, I mean, tangibly or intangibly, I mean, that could be, they say, holy cow, hey, VR people, send me some money. You could do that on VR, but I was thinking if it had some sort of tangible aspect to it. I mean, with the cloud giggling, but also the that there's some sort of density in, you know, physical feedback as I'm tickling the cloud with my toes. Nothing too intense. You know, not on the density of cotton balls. I don't want my toes getting caught in any clouds. That would be, I mean, I guess that'd be cool. Like, a total, that'd be the closest it'd ever be to feeling like Zeus. It's a, hey, what's that between your toes? I mean, hardy har har. Oh, that's a cloud. No, it's not. No, it actually is. I was tickling a cloud with my toes earlier. Hold on a second. What? Oh, yeah, it's actually, this could be, well, it's a business opportunity. Well, not for, it's my business now. I sell cloud dispersion units or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's a cloud. You could just walk around the beach with a tiny bit of cloud sticking out between your toes. Most people would just scoff, but they say, no, this is a cloud. Go ahead and take a look at it. Do you have any clouds that have not been between your toes? Because I'd prefer. Oh, actually, I do have a pot. I also, you know, to quote that song from the 90s that Scooter quotes, not the cloud wrangler, but the I've got a pocket full of clouds today on the beach. So, yeah, that's a talk about a spin doctor. I've got a pocket full of clouds. I mean, not full, but here, it's a free sample. It's a tiny cloud. Maybe I should, do you think I should charge for these too? But yeah, go ahead, take it. That was a cloud between my toes. It's floated away and it's already dispersed in the atmosphere. I don't know if it's returning to whence it came, but I felt like I should say that because it makes me feel enlightened. Okay, where were we? The thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, any changes in time or temperature or routine or anything else physically going on with you or that you're anticipating or traveling or your work schedule changed or you're not on a normal work schedule. Whatever it is that's going on, whatever's keeping awake. The reason I go through all those things, and the most important thing that I've learned, particularly in the last few months of making this show, is that we are alone together, together alone. Like, I know this is a podcast and it's strange, but it is the most important part of the show is that it feels lonely in the deep, dark night for a lot of us. Maybe not for everybody. And that's not easy. And I want you to know there's other people listening right now, and I may not know exactly what's keeping you awake. I may not have been through the same thing. I think I can relate to how it feels, but if I can't, I can tell you there's somebody listening right now somewhere on planet Earth. I mean, you know, let's not even get into the, you know, there could be cloud-based universes. I don't know if they have sleep with me there, but there's someone else listening who can relate to what you're going through and who says, hey, that's tough. I'm glad you're here. I hope this podcast can help, just like Scooter says, because it's not easy. And the other thing is you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place you could rest, a bedtime you don't have to dread, a bedtime without rigmarole most of the time that you could say, well, at least I got this sleep podcast to look forward to, or this incredibly, you know, elaborate cloud-based machine that I get to tickle in clouds. I can imagine to do that with Scooter. And, or whatever podcast, like I said, I haven't said it yet. If you loathe me already, if you're like, I'm never going to listen to the show again. And I hear from those people on a regular basis. I have a website set up for you. I'm not even saying this in a snarky way. sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. I hear from so many people that loathe me over the past 10 years. I made a website for it because you still deserve a good night's sleep. So check that out. It's got other sleep podcasts on there, other sleepy stuff, because maybe you'll find something that'll help you because we're in this together. So that's why I make the show. And if you get the sleep you need, your life's going to be better. It's going to be more manageable, and maybe you could be out there flourishing, living your life. That means the world's a better place to be in. So that's what I do. What I do is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and superfluous tangents, and go off topic. I'll get mixed up, and then I'll forget. You know, we've already seen quite a few of those pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. The show also can be tough because it's a podcast you don't really listen to, but you could listen. You could kind of just barely listen. Just like looking at a cloud. You see, I mean, let's be honest, unless you're a cloud enthusiast, you look at a cloud, you say it might be nice, or somebody says that looks like I don't know, a turtle. And you say, huh, I don't know, looks more like this to me. Anyway, well, that cloud's puffy. Huh, wonder what that cloud's doing. Is it moving? How do clouds get flat bottoms? You know, those are the kind of things that that go through, like, that. But then you move on, or the cloud dissipates. And this podcast is kind of dissipates sometimes. So that just takes some getting used to, kind of like looking at something out of focus or a cloud. Also, this podcast, it's a sleep podcast. It was kind of the first sleep podcast out there, but it doesn't put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep, to take your mind off of stuff and not to put you to sleep. You just fall asleep. I take your mind off of stuff and be a little bit of a distraction that you don't have any investment or stakes in, that you can kind of listen to externally, but you don't have to pay attention to it, but you could pay attention to it. There's no pressure to fall asleep. These shows are over an hour, so you don't have to worry about when the episode's going to end. Or if you can't sleep, you have something to listen to, because there's people who are listening who can't sleep or who have a tough day and they need a break. So podcast is here whether you're awake or asleep, whether you're listening or not. It does take a few tries to get used to, and because most people get here skeptical, doubtful, tired, frustrated. So give it a few tries. That's just what most listeners have said. Hey, it took two or three tries for me to realize, oh, okay, this podcast doesn't make any sense or whatever. So that's that part structurally. Oh, what else throws people off? The style of the show doesn't put you to sleep. You don't listen to it. Structure of the show also throws people off. So show structurally is, it starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls. So if you feel seen and welcome, you say, I could check that podcast out. Then there's support. So the show can be free for anybody that wants to listen, which I've learned is very important. And so I'm proud to be able to offer the show for free. And then there's an intro, which is a long meandering intro meant to ease you into bedtime. For some reason, when people dislike the support strongly, they lump the intro in with it. And I don't want you to miss out on the intro. I mean, if you want an ad-free experience, you could pay for it. But otherwise, just like the intro is a show within a show meant to ease you into bedtime. It's different every single time, so that for you or a regular listener, like, yeah, that you can't quite adjust. You never know what I'm going to talk about, but you know it's going to follow a similar amount of time and structure. But that way you could also listen while you're getting ready for bed, or you're getting comfortable in bed, or you're doing some other wind-down activity, because that's just what's been shown to work, is having a wind-down routine. And for some, you know, there are people out there, and a lot of people are in bed with somebody who just puts their head on the pillow and they fall asleep, and that's great for them. And maybe it doesn't feel great for us, but having a bedtime routine can make bedtime a little bit nicer. It does for me, and it works most of the time. So that's what the intro does. There is a small percentage of people that fall asleep during the intro or that skip the intro. But if you're new, see how it goes. I mean, when else are we going to talk about puffy clouds? Or you'll kind of see how we make the show and say, okay, I was supposed to record one style of show, but now I'm going to do a different style of show because this cloud wrangler came up. So that's the intro. Then there's support again, so the show can be free. Then there's a story. Tonight, apparently, it'll be cloud wrangler. And that'll be about 45, 50 minutes or so. And then there's some thank yous at the end. So this is the structure of the show. Why make the show? And I'm so glad you're here. I really work really hard at Your Nice Drive. So do a bunch of other people. A bunch of people work really hard on this show. Couldn't do without them, but I couldn't do without you either. I'm so glad we get to help you fall asleep. I really earn a nice drive to do so. I'm really glad you're here. Thanks for coming by. And here's a couple ways I'm able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Everybody, hey, it's Scoots here. This is episode the Cloud Wrangler, which is one of these great untold tales. Or is it an interview? Oh, it's an interview. No one let me know about that. One second, let me get prepared. Okay, hey everybody, Scoots here, and you didn't hear a delay, but I had to. I didn't realize we were we do have them on the line now. The Cloud Wrangler. And apparently this is an interview, so glad to have you on the show. And I guess you didn't know you'd be being interviewed either. So let me think about some questions to ask you. You're a cloud wrangler. I guess that means you wrangle clouds. Why don't you tell me a little bit about who do you work for? Who's in charge of wrangling clouds? And tell me a little bit more about that, if you want. Okay, my name's you could call me the Cloud Wrangler. Technically, I don't wrangle clouds. I'm more that's just a term. That's an earthbound term. No, and I'm not saying that in a way of judgment. It just is not a term we use. And I know you like to say, do I move clouds around and around and around and around? I wouldn't say I'm a cloud gatherer either. I'm a cloud coaxer is probably the best term. And I do work for Morpheus, not the Morpheus that you're familiar with, or people like them who watch movies in the early aughts are familiar with. But I think there's a Morpheus that existed before that, a Morpheus in comic books that some people may be thinking of. I'm not that Morpheus either. But Morpheus is this stuff may be a bit like, so there's a thing up in the cloud, in our world, Cloud Tower, which that has been featured on the podcast before. Now, not a lot is known about Cloud Tower, other than that's Cloud Tower, I guess it's the guidance system for when, so Cloud Tower is a bit where someone works. And they're different than me because they're dealing with traffic from outside CBBs, cloud-based beings. Now, you may say, am I a cloud-based being? I'd say no, but I work in the clouds. You could say my head's in the clouds, but that would only be accurate at the times my head is actually in the clouds, which is not at all times, but... So that, does that answer your questions? It doesn't, but I'm trying to find, questions to ask you because I'm not sure what kind of interview this is. So I want you to imagine, something you would wear that's different from your normal attire, but you could tell us about your normal attire first. And then I want you to imagine you are wearing that, not like a, like something out of the ordinary for you, and going through the public each day, which I'm maybe means something different to you too. And how do you feel about it? Or how would you imagine you feel about it? Okay. Well, the good news is, I can try to answer this question because I am familiar with your world and your terminology. Though, I'm trying to find a way to describe, what I would wear when I don't, you know, my, like our ideas of clothing are just much different than yours. I'm sorry. So are you saying you're up in the sky wrangling clouds with no clothing on? Well, technically by your terminology, I would be, but that's not true for me because I'm not I'm not wearing clothes, but I'm trying to come up with a conception that you would understand because you don't, like when I say I'm not wearing clothes, are you not wearing clothes right now? Right now I am wearing clothes, but this is going to be, right now I'm associated with you. That's how we're doing the interview. Oh boy. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have told, like, wait a second. Like, so you're wearing my clothes? Well, technically, we're wearing the same clothes at the same time. Okay. All right. But you wouldn't always be wearing my clothes. You're only wearing my clothes because of this interview. And, that's a little bit interesting. Well, this helps me. So let me try to, can I rephrase the question before you answer it, even though you started answering it and confused me and, maybe gave me a better conception of, I don't do a lot of interviews. The good news is this is the second interview I can recall doing as me. And the last time I did an interview, I was stumped many times too. So this is great that but I think the other times I was stumping the interviewee where you're stumping the interviewer. And I feel like that's good content. So normally you're a being that doesn't wear clothes because you don't wear clothes. So that doesn't really apply to you. But in this particular circumstance today, you're here with me and we're clothed together. And as I say it, I'm trying to develop some level of acceptance of all these things and some calmness, which I think I'm achieving. So what if there was a world where you were wearing clothes, which any outfit in some sense would be different than your normal outfit, and how would you feel if you were a person? So let's just keep it earth-based because I know, because here's the thing, from what my experiences with Cloud Tower, earth-based beings and are humans. Let's just go with humans. I know there's humans and there's other things. I think there was like a giant thing of pencil erasers or something that visited Cloud Tower or tap shoes. So I know there's other things that happen there that I don't, you know, that I have a conception of. I mean, every time I think of Cloud Tower, I think of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I don't know why that is. Like, I think, Rudolph's a guest at Cloud Tower quite a bit. Very popular. I know, here's the thing. Rudolph's more popular up here at Cloud Tower than on Earth. Okay. So if you were wearing clothes, if you had a need to wear clothes, because you, okay, let's just say this. Let's say Morpheus said, Cloud Wrangler, I need you to go down to Earth. I'm going to do some sort of mystical, magical type stuff. you're going to take on human form, but please take on human form. I don't need, like, I just want to give another caveat that even though we're wearing my clothes together and I'm comfortable with it because I'm pretty sure it's cool, because I'm pretty sure you're some sort of vaporous being or whatever, or it's just for this interview. I don't need, you know, I don't need you taking out, you know, like I've been reading, I read a lot of comic books, particularly lately. So I don't need to be in it. And then I'm also working on a series that takes place in a role-playing game, and I'm looking up a lot of spell stuff. So I don't need any of that stuff going, like I need, like I barely have any control over my life anyway, or my decisions and my thoughts and my feelings, you know, those are way out of my control. So like in this example, that is only a thought experiment. Please let the thought experiment, and if it turns out to be anything real, that it's just you going down to earth in human form as an illusion through the power of Morpheus. And as you're getting ready to do that, or before you do that, you would don clothing. Or what we could do, you know, there's a popular sequence in films. It sounds like you're pretty familiar with human pop culture. It typically happens in, it can happen in teen comedies, rom-coms, other films where there's a sequence, and it's usually a joyous montage of, happens, you know, I don't want to point fingers, but I think every film on the greeting card channel may contain this sequence that I've watched when my mom's not watching the news and I'm visiting her. I've seen a lot of these sequences, like that happens. So, maybe we could do a montage of you wearing outfits, and you telling me, like, we could just walk through it. I forget the original question. You're headed to Earth, not as me, not becoming me or taking me over, but in your own human form. We're setting aside any thought experiments of, you know, like, we're just focusing on the outfit. What, tell me about some outfits or thought. Let's roll through an extended slow moving montage for a sleep podcast, of you coming out of, the dressing room in outfits. And we do, like, I could be that person that's sitting there. My legs are already crossed and I'm in a chair. That's the great news. And let's take it from there, Cloud Wrangler. Okay. Well, the first thoughts I had was, what's going to make me feel most comfortable? Well, I have two competing thoughts, but I'll start with that one. And maybe it's the way you're dressed, even though I know I'm taking on another form, but right now you seem to be dressed comfortably. And also I have access to your, well, I shouldn't have said that, but I do have access to your memories. I also am aware, you know, we keep an eye, you know, Morpheus, taking a liking is probably the wrong way to describe how Morpheus feels about you, but that might be the easiest way for you to hear and understand it. So Morpheus kind of knows your relationship with clothing and things like that. And Morpheus and I both know that the shorts you're wearing now, interesting enough that you brought up your mother, because I think you were either with your mother when you bought these shorts, or you said when you were buying the shorts you're wearing now, you were and said, oh, I remember when we went shopping with grandma to your daughter, and you're buying them at a place that's associated with kind of fast clothing. But I know you've had these shorts for at least 5 to 6 years, and they don't really look that tired, we'll say. But they're also casual shorts you mostly wear around the house, and they're elastic waistband drawstring, some sort of material like linen that's not linen, that is the right thickness for you, very soft, but not too soft, because I know you don't like those clothings that are too soft, and 100% cotton, I'm guessing, which I know you have a preference for, and most of the time. interestingly enough, your shirt, you're probably, I guess I wouldn't wear because your shirt. So I would wear those shorts you're wearing now. I would not wear the shirt you're wearing now. Even though you seem pretty comfortable in it, I know you have a ongoing unsure relationship with non, what are these, manufactured clothing things. It's some sort of non-cotton material. And it's a shirt. The funny thing is that shirt probably was, this was a shirt you got at TJ Maxx. You say really TJ Maxx, that's funny how you, can you, TJ Maxx? Yeah, you almost say it like a computer. I mean, that's fine. I'm not making fun of you. I just never heard of TJ Maxx. TJ Maxx. But that's fine. Because I just watched Galaxy Quest. I guess that's what made me think of it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know you were thinking of making Galaxy Quest 2 in your imagination, Scooter. Morpheus and I had a laugh at that. Well, yeah, we had Galaxy Quest, the return, it was actually called Return to Galaxy Quest, and then we said, well, maybe we should look up the other original Star Trek movies and then come up with a title based on that. Then we said, what if we just took Galaxy Quest and applied it to another popular property, even though we'd never get the rights to that? And then we kind of said, well, maybe Starkid already did that. And there's other movies like Galaxy Quest, but we now I can't think of them. Okay, Scooter. So I wouldn't wear the shirt you're wearing because you bought it at TJ Maxx. I know that, and I know that it probably was about like a good deal, but not you wouldn't have considered it fast fashion. And it's a shirt that you normally is. Marketed towards exercise or warm weather. And I know that you were strongly encouraged to purchase this shirt by a sibling who loves these style shirts and that you have four different versions of the shirts. You've probably possessed the shirt not as long as the shorts. The shirt is definitely not aged as well as the shorts, because it went from being a shirt you could wear other places to now being a shirt that can only remain within your home. And so we have that. So those things are so, but it's also that, I don't know, one, you got the static issue with the shirt. But I don't know, I know that otherwise you wear cotton shirts as your pajama shirt. Who's interviewing who right now? Whom? Scooter, I'm just postulating on what shirt I would wear. But I thought the whole thing was that I thought this was going to be like a montage. Right, a slow-moving montage, Scooter. There's probably some sort of, like somewhere in another world. Morpheus is probably playing, like, the pan flute. I don't know if I've ever seen a clothing try-on montage with a pan flute before. You don't know how that would... Scooter, I'm just trying... I mean, I don't know if I've heard the pan flute played slowly, either. But I guess, I could hear the up notes when you come out of the thing. So, okay, so you would not wear the shirt I'm wearing now. Now I'm starting to think about the shirt. Yeah, I'm just postulating, Scooter. So the other options would be your other shirts that you call pajama shirts, which are just T-shirts that are either one size too large for you or have too many grease stains for you to wear outside of the house or have, as you would say, too much going on the shirt. And I could say, well, huh. I know you wear a lot of those because you work from home some days. But I don't know. I'm not feeling those shirts either. Okay, now I feel like I'm getting to know you because you're having preferences different than me. So this is good. So we would have the same shorts on. So what are you looking for in a shirt? Well, that's a great question. I guess in this circumstance, I'm looking for something comfortable, breathable, no static. I don't know. I don't think these shorts would feel good as a shirt. Scooter, could I ask you this question? You could. Okay, so how would you feel like, I mean, I guess this is like if I was wearing a shirt that was a butt, like, was now, can we get into some of your other wardrobe? And maybe you could even do a try on, not for me, but for yourself later. Oh boy, I think I know where you're going with this. Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, and if I was in your situation, so now I know you have to walk the dog, so that I guess this is where the objection would come in. But so you have shirts that you're feeling you're 80% about. Some shirts, like the one you're wearing now, maybe you're at 65%. But you like, what about shirts that are open, like a button shirt? So then you have full control over the breathability of the shirt when you're alone and it's appropriate. You could button it up when you leave the house and you have a little bit more material choice. Scooter, by the way, I can read your mind. I'm within your mind. You understand that I'm, you know, a vapor-based being, you know. Yeah, I thought you said you weren't made of clouds, but anyway. So, yeah, I would worry about wrinkling, constriction, and people, like, when I leave the house with these shorts on. Usually my footwear is whichever footwear I've left by the door that I could put on without, you know, that I can just use to walk the dog. And so I know the shirts, the initial shirts you were thinking of, I think I've talked about on the podcast before. And please don't bring up the short shorts. I did say, sometimes I do search for stuff based on intros. And I know on an intro, I said I wanted to, you know, have a waffle-based wardrobe based on waffle clothes. I was, you know, waffling on waffle clothing. And I said to myself, I wonder what would happen if I had waffle, like a waffle, like, can you buy waffle-based clothing? Really, that was because I wanted terry cloth clothing. And, but that kind of, I'd like to wear terry cloth based clothing, but that was harder to find. And then I had a waffle robe and some waffle towels. Now, the interesting thing is the waffle robe is a little thick because it's two layers of waffle. The waffle towels are perfect because they're just one layer of waffle, very thin, and they're for quick drying. And they're not too soft. I mean, I guess some people would say they're like a little bit not soft enough, but I find them great. I searched for waffle-based clothing, and eventually I found some sort of obscure site that sold waffle-based clothing. And seemed like it was for people that were a little bit, their lifestyle is a little bit cooler than mine or something. Also, it was incredibly low price, so I think it was all on clearance. And yeah, I bought, I said for the live shows, these would be cool. So I bought a baby blue set of shirt and shorts, and then a purple of the color of Sleep With Me shirt and shorts. Now, they were like almost from the future. Now, I guess in the future, I'll be wearing short shorts because they're very short shorts. I also bought a polo shirt and a lounge pants or sweatpants. Those were great. I wouldn't wear them out of the house, but they're lounge pants for the winter. And then the black polo shirt, I haven't really worn it, but I probably could. And then the other two shirts are they're like from the future. They kind of like go together they're complicated closures, like something like a Starfleet uniform. If just to give an example, the bottom button, I would have to take my right hand, reach it under my left armpit towards my hip to button the shirt. And then I think the next button is like on my, like below my chest on my right side with my left hand. So I don't know about, I mean, I could try, I'm willing to try. Okay, Scooter. Yeah, the other thing, I think that sometimes you've bought dress shirts on, what do you call that place? TJ Maxx. I know some of those you've left behind in other places where you have, where you're, where your parents and your brother live, so then you don't have to bring as much clothes, so then you just wear old clothes. It's like you wear your hand-me-forwards. They're not hand-me-downs, they're hand-me-forwards. Yeah, that always creates a few days of, you know, I'm from a large family, and I'm a complicated person, but yeah, had an idea at some point three or four, 5 years ago. Why not have, I didn't call them hand-me-forwards. That's a great term. But my, you know, my parents, now their place is pretty small, so I've only been able to, like, so those clothes where my parents live at their condo, those are more universally left clothes. So, but hopefully ones that my parents don't return, like sweatshirts, towels, socks, which I know everybody, but if you wash socks, it's like, come on. And maybe a couple pairs of shorts and shirts. But their place is so small. Now, my, like, childhood home is in a transitory state, but sometimes it's rented out, but not always. And so I do have a container of clothes, because normally I only visit there. Well, I'll just stop there, even if it was rented out, because it should be near the garage. Though I used to hide it at their cabin. But then people would be, I guess from my point, wow, this is getting deep. This is a serious interview, huh? You're doing great, Scooter. Just keep answering the questions. So normally what would happen is, so it's one of those plastic bins, not super big, but like, so... Yeah, probably have three pairs of shorts, three or four pairs of socks, four or five T-shirts, and then one or two or three button-down or like casual form, like shirts I could wear out to lunch or something. But clothes that I didn't necessarily wear here or that became have some sort of stains on them. Where if I'm on vacation, like sharing a cabin with my family, that I don't really mind wearing. So clothes you're comfortable in when you're in a comfortable place. Yeah. I mean, like you could. There's two pairs of the exact same gray shorts that are like faded from, and maybe even a pair of jeans. Yeah, Scooter. And there's like even you have a couple long sleeve shirts there in case it gets chilly, maybe even a sweatshirt. Yeah, I do. But what was your point? So I was just thinking, because you have some of those type of shirts along with these waffle clothes. The problem with your waffle shirts, Scooter, is you don't wear, like, they're never going to, I guess they could be your show shirts, your live show shirts, but that's kind of a very specific and like only could wear them at a certain temperature that, so only that'd be like one or two live shows a year. But so if they don't get worn in, I just wonder what will happen to them, you know? Yeah, no, I hear you. And, so I would say those shirts. And then there's a couple of shirts that either you actually took back from your summer clothes, your cabin clothes, or that you liked so much, or that are very similar to your cabin clothes. And I know even one shirt you did put into rotation recently that, so what are you saying you want to borrow, like when you come to Earth, you're going to borrow my clothes? I guess so, Scooter. I mean, these are the only clothes I've ever known. But I'm going to borrow some of your clothes that you're not wearing, you're not utilizing fully. And I'm suggesting maybe you do the same. Okay. This means you're probably not going to try on any more clothes though, for the montage. No, I think that's it, Scooter. That's a good, that was a good montage. Okay, here's another interview question. Scooter, where are you getting these questions? Oh, random. I grabbed like four books that were sitting on my couch and then I'm going through them. And okay, Scooter. This one is, I want you to write a letter to one of your favorite author, musician, actor, or business establishment. What is it that you admire about each of them? Okay. Scooter, again, I don't have a frame of reference for this kind of stuff. Like, I have your frame of reference and then Earth's frame of reference, but we don't have, so we do have authors, musicians, actors, so creative people coming to Cloud Tower. And businesses, yeah, I guess we do have those things, but I don't know. I think of it in a different way. So why don't you talk about one of those things that sticks out to you, and then maybe I could use that as a frame of reference yet again. Maybe even something you've talked about before, but it's been a while. Wait a second. Yes, Scooter? I'm seeing you working now. What do you mean, Scooter? So this is your cloud wrangling skills. You could be an interviewer, because you're, what did you say you do? Cloud coaxing. You're trying to you're coaxing me. Scooter, I didn't know I was doing that. I don't know if I believe you. Like, do you like, because you want me to talk about Steven Spielberg, right? That would be great. Well, what about Steven Spielberg came up for you, Scooter, that maybe you haven't talked about in a while? And maybe this could be a framework. Maybe, Scooter, you could actually do this. We could talk out a letter, then you could send it to Steven Spielberg. Because, let's be honest, you're not, like, you don't want to handwrite the letter because your handwriting is just hard to read. Though you could handwrite it and send it with a typed copy, and then you could, let's just talk it out, because I think there's enough people listening to the show now that haven't listened in a long, you know, that didn't listen early on, and they might not know about any of this. Okay, you coaxed it right out. So you want me to start, dear Steven Spielberg, I just wanted to let you know that you changed my life, and I wanted to say thank you. Now, some of this I would edit because I'm not, like, so, dear Stephen, a lot of this is based on my childhood perceptions of you, though I know that's just my childhood perceptions, but sometimes I think that childhood appreciation is more powerful than reality and the fantasy created. I don't want to sound, I guess I'm doing a little performative, but I'm trying to be honest and performative at the same time. Okay, Scooter, yeah, this is just a first draft. So, I don't know, you probably didn't know this, Steven, but there's a couple seminal moments in my life, some of which may be familiar, even current listeners, and I just wanted to talk about them. But leading up to the most seminal moment, an eye-opening moment in my life. I can remember the day I fully fell in love with movies. Was the first time I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, which I don't think Steven Spielberg had anything to do with. Well, Scooter, I think the audience knows that what you've talked about that somewhat recently, so you can move on from that one, just in case, because I think that you should probably look that up. But then you could, so just leave that as, because you have other ones, right? Right, but then when I fell in love with Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was something outside of me. And something like magical, but untouchable, an untouchable, inaccessible kind of magic that I could only see. And then a special summer came, the summer of whatever year it was, when two separate movies came out within a time frame. Scooter, I'm not, Scooter, yeah, you like, I guess this is all good because, it leads into, thanks for your coaxing. You're just trying to coax me to keep going. You're doing great, Scooter. Okay, so, like, that was the summer that Goonies and Back to the Future came out. And, by the way, A View to a Kitten, which was a James Bond movie. I think those all came out the same summer. And they came out on my radar because I can remember, I think about hearing and talking about Back to the Future before it came out in a car on a hot day, going somewhere I didn't want to go with somebody else's family, but with one of my friends. And I can remember like that. I don't know which movie came out first. I think Goonies came out first. I can remember this was the first time I was able to go to the movies by myself. There was a movie theater within walking and biking distance of where I lived, even though it was far for a kid. Wasn't too far. It was definitely the price, especially for a child matinee, was unbelievably low. I'm pretty sure I had my paper out, so I had a little bit of cash on hand. And I remember seeing that movie over and over and over again. And then I found out that there was a movie with more hype coming out after that called Back to the Future. Somewhere in there, I also saw View to a Kitten, a Roger Moore James Bond film, a bunch of times as well. And then this other movie came out called Back to the Future, not A Back to the Future. Now, I may be remembering these in the wrong order, but I don't think I am. And I said, there's a movie that's getting better reviews than Goonies and is even more expected to be more popular. And not the James Bond movie, but the other two movies were in my head associated with executive director producer Steven Spielberg. And I can remember the moment I was playing with my toys, I think looking forward to seeing Back to the Future, and with the thrill of seeing, again, as a child or whatever, I definitely was not even prepubescent, or maybe I was prepubescent, but as a child who played with toys, 19, I don't know. Scooter, yeah, that's a good age for being self-deprecating. So, yeah, I appreciate it. I can remember playing with these toys and realizing as I was reenacting scenes, mostly from A View to a Kitten, but with that anticipation of Back to the Future and the thrill of A View to a Kitten and Goonies running through my bloodstream, movies were made by people, which was the people who make movies, which the episode I talked about this, I don't know how many years ago it came out, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And I can remember it because I said, wait a second, it's people's jobs to make movies. And that's when I decided what I wanted to do with my life was to become the next Steven Spielberg. Now, a couple of things you should know, Steven. I didn't have the greatest, I was not a good student. I was not a very disciplined child. I was very good at consuming things that would encourage my daydreaming, like books and movies, and playing. So I had those down, those three things, along with, like other shades of fantasizing, unrealistic expectations on both sides of the coin. None of this is your fault, by the way, just in case you think you thought it was, but this is a first draft of a letter anyway. Then what happened, Stephen, was I returned to school after this heady summer, which may have not just been the summer, but I'm associating with the summer because that's how I remember it. And returned to school. And that door didn't totally close, but it felt closed a little bit, right? I felt like I was back in the old airlock, and this was a particularly rough school year. And this happened just like in the movies, where finally one day the teacher said, I want you to write a report on what you want to be when you grow up, or something like that, your future career, your dream career. And it has to be whatever we were learning how to use books for this kind of thing. And maybe it was on a break. I'm presuming it was on a break because that was when I definitely wouldn't get any schoolwork done because I'd be too busy imagining Stephen. Maybe that's familiar. And so what happened is, at my school library, which was very small, there was not any books. I don't even know if there's any books about movies. There's a great book about people who like rode the seven seas in the, you know, pirates, I could say that. And one about dinosaurs. Those are the main ones I checked out most of the time. And I can't even remember checking out any other books. Then I went to my regular libraries, two branches, by the way, Mundy Branch and the Hazard Branch. Maybe even a third, because I had three libraries. Said I can't think of the third library's name. It's on Genesee Street, or maybe that was Hazard. Howlett Hill, is that the other one? Was that Howlett Hill and then Hazard? These are Onondaga County libraries, Stephen, just for your future notation. And now, I think I probably even asked for help. I couldn't find any books on executive producer directors. This is back when there was no internet or there's probably microfiche. Now, I mean, honestly, Stephen, this was also seminal in the sense of like, this became something I actually enjoyed for a time. This was one of the few student activities later in life I would be good at. If there was an open-ended assignment and we had to search it because of like databases, it became an older student. But at the time, it kind of was just defeated. And I said, well, I'm just going to write this paper from my heart. And also, like, I have really bad handwriting. I had like stuff happen to my arm when I was even younger. So I also got very tired very fast writing. This had to be handwritten. It probably had to be 6 or 7 or 4 pages. I don't know how many pages. And I realized also I'm not good at spelling. Executive producer director. I just, this is how you start off on the wrong foot. After I wrote it the first time, I put a notation in a kid's paper that said, from here forward, I'm just going to refer to executive EPD or something or EXPD instead of writing out. So that was like already like starting me off on the wrong foot with this teacher who I was already not having a great relationship with. To say we didn't get along would be an understatement. But there I was, you know, saying in this paper, one day I'm going to be like Steven Spielberg. Now, the funny thing was, I didn't really know what you did or how you did it. I just knew the result and how it made me feel, where it took me, and what the after effects were, or what the excitement leading up to it was. How when the lights would go down, everything would go away, and how it'd be changed, and how it would stay with me, and how it was something that I hadn't imagined that I was watching unfold in front of me, and I was just a kid. I didn't know how to translate in that to words, but I probably tried. I probably gave it a pretty good try. A little too flashy and a lot of neither style or substance. But a lot of honest excitement. And just like in the movies, that paper was returned to me with an F. And probably not a lot. And in the teacher's defense, not following the instructions. And I probably did two drafts, but probably not a lot of effort either. Like the effort happened in between it. But the effort was mostly based on thoughts and feelings and imaginings. So I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess at the time, maybe if I could go back, I'd say, what if you wrote a letter and said, hey, what I want to understand how you do this. What are the steps you take? What's it like? How do you get through those times when you feel like it's not going good? How did you get there? What would you tell me? What do you wish you knew back then? And I know you say, watch the Fablemans. How about that? And I'd say, okay, I'll bring that with me in my time machine. Also, do you have access to a time machine? But anyway, so I did get an F. Maybe I got a D, but I was already not a grade. It didn't hurt my grades very much. Now, what happened, though, unfortunately for me, was that I started to develop the wrong organs. I didn't have a cloud coaxer, an internal cloud coaxer at the time. I didn't realize how important that was until this moment right now, where I was coaxed into the fact of saying, oh, that's what a cloud coaxer does, a cloud wrangler. It helps to keep things in flow, because my flow got blocked by the letters F to the E to the A to the R, and maybe buying too much into that all or nothing thinking that I was talking about. That was so powerful. It took me a long time to figure out how to coax that stuff and direct it a little bit, but also to celebrate those things that you taught me through being swept away, being excited for it. I guess what you showed me was that this is the best place. The consumption of books or films or music or whatever is the best place to experience unexpected and unfulfilled and expectations. Unexpected expectations sounds strange, but I don't know what I was trying to say. Unrealistic. You don't need realistic expectations when you're there consuming stuff, but I just needed that cloud coaxer, or to get in touch with that part of me that could coax those clouds to say, okay. And maybe that, I don't know. So yeah, what I'll do is I'll watch the Fablemans with my younger self and maybe with this cloud coaxer, and then see how it goes. And then maybe write the letter after to get notes for my kid. And then I'll get back. By the way, this is a draft, so I won't get back to you. But in case you're reading this draft somehow, it's just a draft, and I'll get back to you. Don't know how to get a hold of you. But I don't think that's an important part of this exercise, because originally the intention of this exercise was because I didn't know I was going to be interviewing a cloud coaxer, and I wanted to have questions to ask a cloud coaxer that would result in meanders. So in that sense, it worked out great for helping people, realize they're not alone with this stuff, right? And that's maybe what a cloud coaxer does too. But it's just, by the way, it's just a draft, just in case. So thanks, cloud coaxer. I guess, could we have you on again? Because that was that was only two questions that got answered. But holy cow, was it. Another surprise, different than my other interview I conducted with Jenny the Username Generator, but just as delightful. So thanks for coming on, and I hope that the cloud coaxers out there coax you into a deep dreamland where all will be well. Good night, everybody. I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. Thanks to patrons. That helps us keep the show going and free for everybody. So I want to thank Nikki, Lenora, and Linda. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Henrik, Aaron, and Lizzie, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Jennifer, Allison, and Kristen, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Wyatt, Megan, and Adria, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Raymond, Nova, and Becca, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Dax, Den, and Laura, thank you. Thanks, and good night. And Caitlin, Joanne, and Wendy. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Thanks for being willing to pay for a free podcast so it can stay free for everybody. and supporting the show or supporting the sponsors. That's how we're here for everybody, you and everybody else, which means a lot to me. And yeah, if you want a free way to support the show, spread the word, let people know about the podcast. It's a huge help as well. So thanks, and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Wildy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.